Those words, the ones we just sang, that's what this is all about. Did you realize that? Amen. I mean, y'all glad to know Jesus Christ has come. Not only has he come. Now, I want you to get this because, you know, one of the things today, this is like right on it. People been getting saved today because this is the nugget. You got to understand this to follow Christ today. So Ephesians, we've already done Galatians. Ephesians chapter 2, and you got to get this. We'll start with verse 6, but we'll go verse 5 and connect 6 to it, okay? You got to understand it's God's truth. Yes, Jesus has died. Man, that's awesome. That means every one of us in this room can be forgiven. Do y'all understand that? Now, I really want to verify to you what we believe here at Hillview. For me, I'm a little restless with and a little nervous about some of the theologians that are emerging today, and they're embracing, you know, the some that can be and the some that can't be. And the problem I have with this is none of us are God, and we don't know. The other problem I have with this is nowhere in the Scripture does it tell us to ponder such things. It tells us to preach Jesus crucified and resurrected, and to pray that as many as possible will be saved, okay? So I want you to know your pastor has always believed, this is nothing new for me, for 30 years of ministry, I want as many people to come to know Jesus Christ as possible. So if you're going to be here at Hillview, you better have a heart for people coming to Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to just ponder theologians, there's some other churches for you to go to, because we're on a mission to make sure that people know the good news of Jesus Christ. So the first thing is, he died. The good news is, he's risen. And there is a third reality you better embrace. He's coming again. I mean, we just sang it. He's coming again. And so I call it the now time, okay? Okay, man, it's great. Hey, you know, now I'm a little bit weird, but I got this great big gigantic. It's called, in theological terms, they call me an evangelistic driven guy. Which just really means this. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know Jesus so bad that I want you to know that he died for you. He's risen in you, and your life can be totally made new by him, okay? You get that, don't you, Sarah? That's what changes everything. That's what changes everything. And so I am so excited that every one of you are going to engage in this. I really dream this dream that in this community, we're going to see more people than ever come to realize that Jesus is Lord. Now, guess what everybody's going to tell them? Ayers, you're crazy. People don't want to hear what God's got to say. I mean, Bill Maher says it's a myth. I say, who cares what Bill Maher says? Who cares what this group of people say? I really want to challenge you. Can you believe what Jesus said? Yes. Can you believe what Jesus said? Now, obviously, at least y'all are curious about it because you showed up today, okay? And some of you are absolutely committed to what Jesus said, and we call those of us who commit to what Jesus has said those who are following Christ, or those who are saved, being saved. They've been changed, okay? Now, here's what I want you to know I believe. I believe what the Scripture teaches, whosoever. I believe any human being can be saved. And I believe Jesus came to save people. And here's why Jesus came to save people. You and I cannot do it by ourselves. Now, go. And here's why people get so confused and so worked up. And just think about this. You see it every day. How many of y'all have ever tried to impress God? You know, you tell God, well, look how good I did today, God. And God goes, yeah, really? Look at how righteous I am. And I've grown up around here. I know this, you know, we got a little bit of Southern culture here. We're kind of the upper belt buckle. And we really do believe this. I mean, how many of you all have heard this preach? As long as you don't smoke, drink, chew, and do, you're going to heaven. I mean, that's in our pulpits all over this area. But you know what God said? You got to come to me. You got to believe in me. Now, I want to show you something. Now, this is the quiz question today. You ready? In the Bible, there's a proverb. Now, this is kind of a gross proverb. Can you all forgive me? There's some gross things, but it's kind of gross. The Bible says this, a dog will return to its vomit. Kind of, yeah, isn't it? Now, we pondered this at 8 o'clock at 9:30, so I don't want you all to be left out. Why does a dog return to its vomit? Come on, this is interactive church here, okay? What do you think? Y'all are so much smarter today than 8 o'clock at 9:30. You know, they were all like, well, it's because it's sick, or it's this, or it's that, or, you know, dog. No, it's a dog. That's what dogs do. Now, here's the good news. Jesus doesn't just change our actions. He changes what we are. Does everybody understand that? So if you would at least start with this confession to someone near you, let them know they're not a dog. You're not a dog. Come on, you're not a dog. Now, hold on. So if you're not a dog, we do have to answer this question. This is the question that will be answered in sermon. Who are we in Christ? Who are we in Christ? We are forgiven and we're moving on. Now, let me tell you why grace scares people. This grace really scares people that want to earn their salvation. They go, well, Pastor Steve, if God saves me and God forgives me and I'm in His grace, does that mean I can just do what I want to do now? By no means. It means you're not what you used to be. Now, hold on. You got to get this. So if you're not what you used to be, you'll start not doing the things you used to do. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Because you're not a dog anymore. Amen. So you don't act like a dog. Let me just go ahead and up. You don't date like a dog. Come on. See, I should have some amens instead of oh no's, okay? That's what we're getting to. There's the transfer. I want you young folk to say, you know what? I want to take that serious. Listen, I pray for y'all every day. You can ask my wife. I pray for y'all every day. Elizabeth and I are very privileged in this. We live in a blessed marriage. We live in a blessed marriage, and that's compliments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, the only reason I've been married for 26 years is Jesus Christ. That's it. I'm just like people in my own culture, man. I could have gone in and out of marriages. I could have been divorced. I could have had a horrible family. But Jesus changed who I was. And Jesus changed who Elizabeth is. And when we're together in Jesus Christ, we're not going to be what the world is. You see the difference? So listen, I pray for all you young girls. Guess what? I want you to find the man God has in store for you. And that may not be the one you want. Gentlemen, I pray for you all, first of all, that you learn how to be men. I've told you all this before. I'm on a man campaign. I'm tired of you all looking like men, sounding like women. I want you all to be men. And guess what men do? They know how to wait. They know how to achieve. And they know how to provide. That's why God's created us. And these are real issues. Guess what? I want you all to get married and stay married. You know why, Ty? Cheaper. I want your kids to be able to look at you when they're in their 30s and go, Mom and Dad, glad you're still here. Okay? I want you one day to be grandparents and there'll be a complete family unit. Why? These are the real problems facing us today. You know how you eliminate the problems with single mothers? Don't have them. That's not in God's design. We're going to love and work, but guess what? What's God's design? A man and a woman and a family. Now, I know when I get on these subjects, y'all are going, oh, he's being politically incorrect. Let me just help you. If you're going to come to Hillview and you got to be politically correct, thank y'all for visiting today. It's just not going to happen here. Here's why. Here's what we're doing right now in this nation. We're politely going to hell. We're kind of like those chipmunk cartoons, you know. No, you first. No, you first. No, you first. And we think being nice is being saved, and it's just being nice. The devil's nice. Don't ever forget this. I've never forgotten this. The devil will fly you first class to hell. So whatever journey you get on, you better ask the pilot where we're going. I do it every flight I take. I mean, now you can't stick your head in the cockpit, but back in the old days when I used to fly, but when you could just fly, you didn't have to take off your clothes before you got on the plane, all those good things, you know. And, you know, you didn't have to take off your shoes. And so, you know, I'd stick my head in there and I'd say, hey, pilot, I just want to make sure you and I are going to the same place, because I have a habit of going to the wrong place. I said, I'm supposed to be in Houston, Texas. Where are you going? He said, Houston, Texas. You know why I'd ask him that? He had more control of where I was going than I did. He was flying, I was riding. So here's what happens is, guess what? The devil will take you to hell in the big seats. And so you'll sit up in the big seats and they'll serve you white sparkling grape juice if you're a Baptist. And if you're not, it'll be white Chardonnay wine. And it'll sound good and it'll look good. And people will tell you how good you are. And I mean, you'll get to wear really cool clothes. And everybody will tell you, you are the greatest. It's just after you land, the location's going to be really sorry. Or you can fly on a Cessna. I'd rather be in a six-seater Cessna listening to and land in heaven. Amen. So let's really look. We can't save ourselves. And that's going to be an emphasis again in the text. Next week, we're still going to deal with we can't save ourselves. Why do you think the Bible spends so much time on we can't save ourselves? Because even after today, after we go over this in the morning, some of you are going to try to save yourselves. Because I bet you're going to wake up and go like this. Okay, had a great day in worship. I understand God wants me to be His. I understand that I've been risen. And I'm going to do my best to show God how good I am today. And God's going to go, you still don't get it. You still don't get it. I want you to release me, not impress me. Freedom. How many of y'all are parents in here? Not all of y'all are parents. We got more kids in here than parents. Okay. Parents, ultimately, when we get right down to it, don't we want our children to be who Jesus has made them to be? And if they step into that, then what? Yes. I'm going to tell you the truth. As a parent, my greatest day was this, as a parent, when Clacy Camille was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, because I knew both of my children knew Jesus. I knew from there on they were okay. I know in their DNA they do have the possibility to do crazy things, because Elizabeth is real wide open in her life. And I knew that DNA had come together, because I was very introverted, shy, quiet kind of person. Elizabeth brought me out of my shell. And if y'all believe that, you need to check your discernment. You know, I mean, here's the deal. I knew it was not by works, but by faith. Now, look at what God teaches you. He said, it is by grace you have been saved. We stopped there last week. Now, who has? Jesus has. God has. And God raised us with Christ. God is what? Raised us. With who? Christ. And seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now you got to stay risen. I'm big on this. You got to stay what? Risen. Guys, we got several of the West Kentucky football team that worships here. I'm going to tell y'all this in the name of Jesus. Stay risen. We are on our what? Way. Last night, got a lot closer. And then guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen. And church, if y'all pick on any of them, I'm going to pray that God will show you how powerful He is. Let's stay what? Risen. Even in a bad day, I'm still what? Now, how many of us forget that? College students, how many of y'all ever do this? Your day goes by your test scores. All right. You got a little jazz coming. A little jazz backing me up on this one. How many of y'all have ever made, I mean, you don't have to answer this question, but you've made a lower grade on the test than you desired. I discovered this in college. Did you all know F does not mean fantastic job? I thought it meant that. Well, you know what I interpreted making an F on? I really did. This hurt me. I want to show you how what happens when you step away from your risen place. I thought making an F meant that I was stupid or dumb. And the reason I made an F is I didn't do any homework. And I didn't go to class. And I didn't apply myself. But I had an F, and it almost made me want to what? Quit or resign myself. But you see, if I'd have done that, I would have stepped away from where God had placed me. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't let today's circumstances dictate heaven's direction. Heaven's direction should dictate today's circumstances. Y'all got that point? Because you see, we've been risen out of what we used to be into what God desires for us to be. Isn't that neat? So in a real way, circumstances no longer dictate my direction. God's positioning in my life gives me a new direction. That makes sense? So you've been forgiven. Now you can live what? Forgiven. You know, we all in this church, we're just very open and honest. So if you're visiting with us today, we're open and honest. We got a lot of brothers and sisters here. There are people here that have struggled with addictions. Any of you all ever struggled with addictions? When you see a 450-pound, four-chinned preacher, you're looking at an addict. And if they went to a meeting, they'd say, "Hello, my name is Brother Ron." I'm just making that up out of thin air, so don't cry to go find Brother Ron. And he'd have to say, "Hello, my name is Ron. I'm a fried chicken addict. I can't eat one bucket. I eat two or three buckets of fried chicken. I've clogged my arteries, really messed up myself, really messed up my wardrobe because I'm addicted to trying to find my life in food." We all have something we try to find life in. What happens is none of it will save us. How many of you girls have ever bought a pair of shoes to feel better? This was a long time ago in Elizabeth and I's relationship. Used to, when I was gone, she missed me. And when we were in college, we were separated. We were in two different schools. And every once in a while, Elizabeth says, "Well, I went out and bought some shoes today because she missed me. Now she just buys shoes because I'm still there." I need to feel what? Better. How many of y'all have ever tried to buy something to make you feel better? Come on, let's be honest. I have. And hey, women, it's not just y'all. Y'all buy shoes. We buy big stuff, like boats. "Honey, why do you need a boat? You already got a boat." Elizabeth always tell me, "You already got that." I said, "No, but we need." I said, "Have you ever seen on these containers, new and improved? You do this in life." Amen, Jack? Amen. Jack had to confess last year that he was about to buy a dune buggy. He said, but he thought about it. And then his wife, Nancy, talked to him and changed his mind. See, sometimes we try to get it through stuff. Now, hold on. Where's it located? In Christ. With Christ. Because we're forgiven, man. Now, let me tell you about salvation. You're not what you used to be. That was last week's sermon. So you don't have to focus on you or me-ism, which now leads us to this. A new position is new capability. And then how many of y'all realize we have new capabilities in Christ? Amen. Y'all want to hear how far the capability goes? Anybody want to hear that today? You want me to save it? It says this: with God, nothing is impossible. How many of you all believe that? With God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. So man, I want to encourage you all to start living like this. Wait a minute. I have been risen and I've been placed in a heavenly direction. I'm going to start living toward heaven. I'm not a dog. I'm a graced being of Jesus Christ. Think that for a minute. I'm going to push you a little bit. You're no longer just a human being. How many of y'all have ever heard this? "Well, I'm just human. And that's what humans do." Okay, that's obvious. Let me tell you why Jesus is powerful. Why do we get so mad at politicians when they break promises? Somebody to blame. Y'all know why politicians break promises? Mike, no offense to politicians, but all politicians break promises. Any politician that tells you they never break a promise, they just broke one. They're lying. Humans break promises. That's one of the big differences between God and us. We break promises. Mike, you're a very honorable man and God's doing great works in your life, but I bet you broke a promise. I bet you've told your wife before you were going to fix it, and that was 15 years ago, and it's still broke. Has that ever happened? Hey, it's in my house. You know what Elizabeth does now? Elizabeth could run a whole construction company. Because guess what I used to do, Deezy? She'd go, what about that back door? I said, use the front door. You know, I have these, you know, but guess what I said as a husband? Because you're supposed to be diligent, you're supposed to be able to fix stuff. I can't fix stuff. When I start fixing stuff, listen, it just makes me say things preachers shouldn't be saying, okay? I mean, just all, nothing ever goes right for me. No screw ever lines up like it's supposed to. And I love this. It's simple. How many of y'all have ever got like a sink and it said, easy replacement instructions. Takes four plumbers to put it in, you know? So Elizabeth doesn't even fool with me anymore because she knows I'm going to break my promise. I'm a broken promise kind of guy. So she just calls contractors in to fix stuff. And they even ask her, where's your husband? She goes, he can't fix a thing, and he'll tell you he's going to fix it, and the whole house will be falling down before he gets around to it. Now, the contractor's really laughing because y'all are worse at all at the house, aren't you? Because y'all are fixing everybody else's house. So, Rhonda, what? Yours doesn't get what? He gives you this. Oh, honey, I'll send some guys out here. You know, I'll get this all fixed up. I'll send a crew out. And that was 15 years ago. We break promise. Y'all ever broke promise? Yeah, me too. So here's what I'm trying to show you. Please, please don't think the world is going to be sobbed by us. Don't get too distraught when you see our politicians messing up everything. They're capable of that. See, politicians have this beauty, especially at national level, to tell you we have money when we're $13.6 trillion in debt. Let me tell you what, that's beyond broke. So guess what humans do when they get beyond broke? What do y'all do? No, we don't stop spending. Lord, we're Americans. What do we do when we get broke? How many of y'all got some fake money in your pocket? Pew, you know what this is right here? Fake money. Got it, newlyweds? Young ladies, you know what this is? Fake what? This is like Monopoly for adults. And so we feel bad because we know we're broke. And then guess what we do, Andrew? If we don't have one, if it gets full, guess what these companies will do? They send a note. You know why? Guess who these are designed for? Stupid people. That's why they're popular. You know why, Tyler? That's a great question. And I knew you would say that. It is to show you, Tyler, how dangerous they are.
That's why I don't have one.
Now, let me tell you, Tyler, mine is regulated, though. There's only one reason I can have one. I'm going to show it to you. Ready? I can have one of these because I have one of these. You see what I'm saying? Best thing that ever happened to my finances, marriage. Because I bank it, no Bank National. No, you're not going to do that. Tyler, I don't have debit cards and all that were taken up from me a long time ago early in marriage. How many of y'all spent more than you had to feel better than you were? Gosh. Now watch. We're kind of having fun looking at some of these real human issues, but guess what they are? Sin. And these are our ways to save ourselves. Now let's look at truth. There's only one way to pull it together. There's only one way to pull it together. And he has a name. Who? Jesus. Greatest verse of scripture, in my opinion, is found here in Ephesians. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. That's a beautiful truth, because it's true. It is by what? Faith, not works, that we're all what? Saved. How many of y'all believe it? I believe that. A lot of you all preach that, you teach that because you know it to be true. I want you to know this is the truth. This opens the door of this new life called following Jesus. It is by faith in who? Jesus Christ. Now, young people, I don't want y'all to ever say this. Don't ever say this. It's crazy stuff. Y'all have lost your minds, and I don't want you to lose your mind. Don't ever say, well, Pastor Steve said this. That doesn't matter. Pastor Eric said this. That doesn't matter. Pastor, Deezy the drummer, now that he's had a birthday, no. The truth is Christ said this. Does that make sense? The Christ said this. The one who saves you. The one who raises you. And listen, Chase is, he's smart. He married Lauren. But it's not because Chase said it. It's because what? Jesus said it. It's not because Dee said it. It's because Jesus said it. Why are you saved by grace? Because Jesus said it. Now, I want you to know something, Hillview. I believe this. So if any of y'all slanted or other way, you and I are going to have great tension. I believe anybody can get saved. I believe any human being that God has ever created can be saved by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. I believe he died because you and I have sinned. And I believe any human being, no matter what they've done or where they've been, if they fall to their knees and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner undone by disgust. I believe you to be the Savior. And I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I believe that free gift of grace will change them forever. Jesus came to save. He said so. I've come to seek and save that which was lost. So we're going to stay there, Hillview. Now listen, I got some people disagree with me. That's fine. I've had that all my life. In fact, if anybody ever started to agree with me, it'd puzzle me. I've never lived without that tension. And there's a reason. Jesus changed my life. That causes tension. We can't boast. We all got to heaven the same way, Jesus. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So we can't what? Boast. How many of y'all have ever boasted? Yeah. How many of y'all have ever been around somebody that smoked cigarettes? We'll just deal with that today. How many of y'all have ever been around somebody that used to smoke cigarettes and they quit? Then what do they want? Ooh, everybody to quit. I've quit. Everybody ought to quit. And they start getting what? And then they'll get real proud too. I haven't smoked a cigarette in 6 years. So-and-so over there smells like a chimney. See, we get arrogant because that's our what? Works. Now here's the way grace works. By the grace of God, by the power of Jesus, I have not returned to things that have killed me because Jesus has made me a new person. Boy, isn't that different? You can't what? You can't boast. But I'll tell you what. You glorify God by testifying to what he's done in your life. See, I glorify God. I just told y'all about God. I'm married because of Jesus Christ. Elizabeth and I are fixing to teach a marriage class. If y'all want to some nutshell of that marriage class, Jesus Christ will keep you married. You must focus on Jesus Christ. You don't get divorced when you surrender your marriage to Jesus Christ, even if you don't like the other person. And here's what's happened. Some of y'all smoked other things than cigarettes, and you think you're going to marry somebody and always like them. That's not true.
It's just not true. You think you're going to have children and like them all the time. You're not. You know how you didn't like your parents? Back at you. Now note this. Mr. Wilson, you've been involved in this biblical text for more than a decade or two. We'll put it that way. Amen. Have you found a place? Because correct me if I'm wrong. We're all in this together. I haven't found a biblical scripture where Jesus talked about liking us. Have you found one either? Okay, I hadn't either. Hey, you know, Garrett, you're studying the scripture. Have you found the passage where Jesus liked us and was just all excited about our humanity? No. Chase, you've been studying the scripture now intensely. Have you found that passage? Then why do we preach that stuff?
Get our attention.
Could be. Or maybe we really think it's about us, when really it's about God. That's why if you understand who God is, he's not offensive. When God says things like this, the poor will always be among you. He wasn't bashing on poor people. He just says, that's a temporary problem. I've come for an eternal reality. Now, how many of you all let temporary problems become your eternal realities? Yeah. You know, Jesus didn't get all, you know, freaked out when people messed up because he came to save them. Here's why. Now you become the workmanship of God. Let God work out of you. So two things, a double ring. Let God rework you so he can work out of you. We get that backwards. We want to work for God so we will be reworked. It's quite the opposite. We must let the Holy Spirit work grace in us so grace can be worked out of us. In fact, let me tell you what, let me give you some good news. Clay, in Jesus Christ and only in Jesus Christ, you and I are already pre-approved. So I don't have to prove anything, Dave. But I have to allow God's approval to work out of us into the what? World. Now, does it make sense? Just go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, you could be pre-approved. Just let them know you're pre-approved. Didn't y'all like that when they sent you that letter and told you you were pre-approved? Didn't that make you feel good? You go, I'm pre-approved. Now watch, God's already saved you. Now let his salvation work out of you. Okay, we're closing. Everybody ready? Shorter today than usual, so pay attention. Now, I know some of you have been in Hillview a long time. You go, all right, we got 20 more minutes. This is the 20-minute landing warning. I want you all to look at Sean Pugh laughing back there. He thinks it's going to go for 20 minutes. You ready? Look at here. For we are God's workmanship. Just look at another person for a minute. I'm going to look at my sister. She's God's workmanship. And Darren, I thank God that God has made you her husband for a need in it. And that's God's what? Workmanship. Grace, restoration, prayers. So Beth Ann, can you hold on and God will eventually give you a husband? You prayed for one in high school and you've been through about 10 schools and finally got one, didn't you? Now, you don't have to go out of those schools to get a husband, but what? Beth Ann did speak truth to me a lot of times. We prayed about that. You know, it's tough. You know, she'd go, do you think I'll ever be married? And I said, well, Beth Ann, I'm not God. I can't answer the future, but I know that's a desire of your heart. And I said, I know this. You've waited. And Beth Ann used to say this, I would rather be single and blessed than married and miserable. So, I mean, here's the testimony. She waited on God. Now, some of you girls, y'all need to tighten up. 22 is not an old maid. Make sense? And it's easier to be married and actually live in a house and not a pup tent to start out with, okay? So you got to, you know, if the guy you're dating struggling with a Big Mac and fries, he's really going to struggle with some Kroger groceries, okay? So just give him some what? Time. I know you can live on love, but not very long, okay? So just be careful. Wait for God to work. Isn't that where most of us get messed up? Wait for God to what? What's this? Can I be very confessional to y'all? Is that okay? I want to show you this. Let God work it out. The 10th year mark, it's been 10 years since this moment in our lives. Can you believe that, honey? 10 years since this moment. About this time 10 years ago, I wanted to leave Hillview. Stuff was going crazy. Staff was going crazy. Church was going crazy. I was already crazy, so I just blended in with it all. And I got my eyes off God. I started looking at problems. For 10 years, I'd literally not been churched up. It was so freeing. At the 10th year, I decided to go back and be churched up again. This is how crazy it was. I even talked to the guys, well, maybe we need to wear, you know, I even gave, like, you know, we kind of need to watch how we're dressing and stuff. I'd never said it in 10 years. It had never been an issue to God. Man, I mean, y'all ever had one of those spots in life, you're just empty. It just don't work. Now, nobody saw it in the pulpit, because in the pulpit, I just said, dear God, I'm really messed up, but please, you love your people more and don't mess them up through my speaking. So basically, all I was a mouthpiece. That's hard to preach like that. I'd feel the joy of the Lord coming out of my mouth, and as soon as I'd done, boom, I'm back in the hole. I'd got my eyes off Jesus. You know, Elizabeth said, but boy, I had it lined up. I mean, I was a worker, I'm a planner, I'm a strategist. And I'm showing Elizabeth of all these churches. And she keeps asking me, is that what God wants? She goes, you going to make a move without God? I go, where is he now? And she says, just wait. She says, just wait. You know what the hardest thing for me to do is? Wait. I don't go to the doctor unless I have to for one reason. Guess what? Wait. I don't care if somebody's dying. I got a 1 o'clock. You know, they'll come in. Well, I've been doing surgery on this person. Almost died. Let them die. That's how crazy we are about time. Yeah. You know what I'd have missed? I'm just showing you an example out of a personal human being's life. If I'd have done it my way, did the Burger King thing, had it my way, I'd have never seen 516 souls come to the Lord this year. Because the churches that I was looking at, they had nothing to do with Jesus. They had to do with a little better look, a little more connectivity, larger city, more lights. My young pastors hear this from me now that I'm a older, younger pastor than I used to be. I tell them, I said, guys, there's two places you can look. There's the light that will lead you to heaven. And there are the lights that will blind you from Jesus. Don't look at the lights. Don't look at the lights. Because they'll always burn you. But embrace the light of Christ, because he will rework you and work out of you the good works of God. Amen. We are people of the light. We do live in a dark world, and we're a little shocked right now because we're coming to the reality of just how dark it truly is. The American dream is really no different than it's always been. The American illusion. We just have some prophets now that'll call it what it is. The American dream, even if you live it, is only for a moment. In fact, I don't know what's so fulfilling about living, getting you an RV, driving in it when you're old, and dying. What about God's dream? That's not how much you can have, but how much will you release? He says, I've pre-approved you.
You have good works in you. I do not want them hidden. I want them lived out. He says to us, look, look. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to what? Do. Y'all been marvelous today. Thank you all. Deanna, thanks for being a good work early in the morning at a gym. I've not seen you there a lot of mornings. I've seen Jesus. I've seen a lot of you when I see you. Guess who I see? Jesus. See a lot of you younger folks. Daisy, when I see you up around them drums and your hair is going everywhere, I remember when you couldn't reach the pedals. Guess who I see? Jesus. Your mom and dad gave you a little bit of talent, but Jesus gave you the blessing. True, Mark? Guys, I remember when Sean Pugh came in here and they said he's going to play football. I said, anybody told him you got to run to play in that game? You know what he did? His story is he did what they said he could not do because he found the workmanship of Christ. Young men, young women, people, will you receive Jesus and become what he wants you to become? To go, I don't know why we're so scared of that. I mean, what God's gonna, the worst thing God's going to do is bless you. Boy, that's scary, isn't it? You see, we want to tell God who we are. Maybe we ought to really reverse the question and say, God, show me who I am. If you do that, you get a lot of direction. All right? Y'all got any questions today? Anybody got any questions? It's the only service I've asked that in, so has anybody got any questions? What do you think? I like a day like this. How long did it take me to get over my dark spell? Year and a half? Year and three quarters? Almost 2 years. Now, that was a long time for me. That's like a nap for God, so, you know, cat naps. But yeah, thank you. That's honest. I want us to be that's honest. Any of y'all ever had a dark spell? You just felt lulled out, busted up. Anybody ever had that human experience? Okay, cool. But what did you just hear today? Who'll get you through that? Well, try it. You see, watch this. I don't want y'all living in depression and in poverty and all those kind of things. Man, that's not what God desires. Now, here's where I'm a little bit different, too. I care less if you're rich, either. I don't think God desires that. Oh, by the way, I heard this. It's coming into our community. I heard from this moment. I'm just checking up on things. When things are false, I check them. Just because you give money to God does not mean he's going to give it back to you and be rich. That theology only works in the United States of America on TBN. That doesn't work anywhere else in the world. And the reason it doesn't work anywhere else in the world doesn't have the money to have enough suckers to believe that. There's nowhere Jesus ever said something like that. He was about the spirit of heaven, not about the money of the world. Be careful, don't get burned, okay? I warn y'all. But I heard that. I heard a preacher say this week, somebody told me this preacher, because they asked me a question. They said, Steve, do you believe if I give money unto God, I'm going to get money back? I said, no, I believe if you get a job, you're going to make money. And praise God, he's given us jobs to go make money. And I'll just tell you what the Bible says. He said, and out of what we make, we give 10% to the work of the Lord. And I found people that do that are financially stable. You don't need to be filthy rich anyway. Why? Well, you're going to heaven. So how much you need? I preach a funeral a week. I've never seen anybody take anything with them on the way out. And I've never seen anybody do this either. They walk by the casket, you know. You know how we do in Kentucky. Well, when people are dead, it always starts out with, well, That's a pretty good person. They helped me. They talk about the relationship. I've never heard anybody say, well, I'll tell you what, that son of a buck, he was loaded, buddy. He was loaded. Now, I've seen some of the family members going, man, I hope it's true about how much he had. It's not what it's about. You see, because it's really not about how much we have down here or how cute we are or how smart we are, because we can only get saved one way and we're all in the same place there. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's going to be some people here today get saved. Thank you for being here today. Thank you, believers, for coming here today. And thank you for those who are curious coming here today. I hope God's answered your question. Jesus would like to save you. But how do you know? He wrote it in blood. Now here's the decision. Will I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, or will I walk away from God's opportunity and work it out on my own? Here's the problem with the work it out on your own. It's impossible to what? Work it out. That's why Jesus has got to get it out so you can work it out. Does that make sense? So today, you got the wonderful opportunity today, right now. Sarah, I don't know about tomorrow. All I know about is what? Right now, today, in the now, you can say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I've sinned. You say, well, how do you know if you're a sinner? Let me help you with that. If you've ever broken the Ten Commandments, you qualify as a sinner. How many qualifications do we have here today? Let me just kind of brief you over a few of them. Anybody here ever had any other gods before the God? UK fans, you're out on that one automatically. It's true. How many of y'all have ever stolen anything? Yeah. What about this one? Committed adultery. Anybody here ever committed adultery? Be careful if you're sitting by your wife or your husband. Don't throw your hand up immediately. But hold on. I'm just showing you where it lines up so you don't ever get boastful. If you've had premarital sex, you've committed adultery. So here's the problem with premarital sex. I know what the world says. I know what MTV says. I know what all these people say. I say, well, it's just premarital sex. Yeah, but it's still somebody else's husband and wife. We just don't know who it is yet. And don't y'all be running this line by me. Well, I'm 16. I'm madly in love, and I know who it is. Baloney. Girls, y'all need to know something. No man is capable of the understanding of love until 30. So if you get married in your 20s, you're rolling the dice, man. It's like playing Texas Hold'em. You're all in, hoping the river card's going to be good. True, Elizabeth? You were sitting on an ace on the river card. Ain't no doubt about it. But you never know. Yeah. How many of y'all have ever done this? Coveted stuff. What does the Ten Commandments say? One of the top ten. Don't what? Covet. How many of y'all covet? I do. The other day, I got madder than a hornet. I found out what some of our elites spend on vacation while the rest of us are trying to scrap by. Guess what? Now, when did I get a whoo? Like, I'd like to play that golf course too. No. Be intrigued with the life God has given you. And you'll be amazing how free that is. Be okay with your life. Because that's the one God gave you. Amen. All right. Has this made any sense today? I don't want to be, rambling. I fear that now. I have some gray hair. I do promise to you all as a congregation, when I notice that I start telling the same story two or three times. Now, Blake, listen to me. This is two or three times in a 20-minute sermon, not two or three times during a week. My son always tells me, Dad, you've already told me that story. I said, I know, but I've revised it. I want you to hear the revised edition. You know, we even do that with the Bible. You know, does your daddy do that sometimes, tell you the same story twice? Now, you children do need to check us, because that Alzheimer's thing is serious. I mean, that can happen. My kids, both my kids, Dad, you've had that for 20 years. Tell
I said, did y'all hear about? And they'll go, yeah, we heard about it. So-and-so did. I said, yeah, but did I tell you this part? Yes, you told us this part. See, they ought to be more like their mom. I tell her the same story 4 or 5 times, and she just sits there every time like it's the first time she's ever heard it. And see, she's probably just preparing for going, yes, honey, that's good. Now, they don't want to hear that. Let's go over here. And I go, okay. Happens, doesn't it? Life. How many of y'all ready to meet Jesus today because he's ready to meet you? Before we had service today, I already knew Jesus was ready to meet you. So I want you to stand together. There are going to be people here today meet Jesus for the first time. Scott, that's what it's all about, isn't it? When you was a little boy over there in Alabama, I bet you met at least one sawdust-spitting Jesus-preaching preacher. Did you ever sing this song out there in them muddy creeks? Jesus saves. Jesus what? Saves. You know what I say? Still does. Still does. Pray with me today. Now listen, you who follow Jesus, this is a big moment for y'all. Do y'all get this? And I want to give you some permission to do something. We're getting a little bit into this stand and stare altar. I don't like that. That belongs to the first, second, and third type churches. You know, if God leads you to just go watch, you may not even know him. Just go, girl, I just want you to know, I want to pray for you. I want the best things for God in your life. We got to start having that kind of Christian community. I want everybody's children to succeed. I want everyone, Mark, hell, how many times do I bring this up through the week? I want all these young people to marry right. How many times do I talk about Andrew and Sean? I'm praying that they get what? The right woman. Here's how I know I can happen. If God did it for Scarborough, I know he can do it for y'all, okay? Make sense? And look at what's happened to Tooley. And one prayer we never prayed over Jamie Ward was a prayer of prosperity and fruitfulness. He got that all on his own. We told Jamie that he's got enough kids, and God's blessed him with beautiful kids. That's just kind of wild. I remember when all y'all got married, including Mark. I remember Pastor Mark when he got married in this place. He had waited on God's work. True. Shame. We prayed for years. We fasted and prayed. And God sent him the right girl. But Shane, how many times did we hear over a 13-year period, this is the one? I had a nickname for all 25 of Shane's, this is the one. Didn't I, Shane? It wasn't 25, it was about, I don't know how many it was. More than one. But God sent the one. So today you need to get that life, amen? Here we go. Tell him. Just pray with me right now. Just let this spirit of prayer come in. Believers, be praying. Whoever doesn't know Jesus would come to know Jesus. And then look at your own life. Am I allowing God's workmanship out of my own life? Lord Jesus, I know there's people right now that you brought here today because you want them to know how much you love them. And so, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus and only by the power of Jesus that your spirit would draw people to understand the grace that you're offering. Lord Jesus, open their ears and their eyes and their hearts. If that's you today, tell him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I know I need you. Jesus, I am sorry for how I have lived in who I am. In fact, Jesus, I'm a dog. Would you forgive me and make me a child? Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me. That changes everything. Know he died. Know he's risen. Know he's alive. Know he's in you. Now, believers, I'm going to ask you to do something, man. I want you to pray. It was just God's move. Y'all can open your eyes if you're okay with that. Please come and pray at the altar today. How many of y'all are praying that our people get employed here?
Remember, I launched that prayer about 3 months ago, and I apologize to y'all. We should have been praying at the church for people being unemployed, but we were too busy depending on the politicians. God, create jobs in our city. Create jobs for our graduates. God, you what? Create jobs. It's the Lord of provision. So, man, here it is. Let's open this altar. We get to do this right now. So in the name of Jesus, He's willing to save. He's willing to heal. He's willing to forgive. He's willing to bring you into His baptism. He's willing to confirm you in how He's made you. So let God rework you so He can work out of you into this world. Come on. Lord, I just thank you for the people coming forward right now. God, I want to pray that you answer their prayers. You show them direction. Hallelujah. God, we pray right now in this service that it just be a feeling of the Holy Spirit and a drawing of the Holy Spirit right now. And God, we not step back from who you are in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.